DCC, my church, my home.
All right. Now, if you have your Bible, I wonder if you can look with me at Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 2. And I want to continue on this brick by brick story. All right. We're looking at the brick by brick story. Tell them, look at somebody and tell them brick by brick. All right. We're building brick by brick. And so Nehemiah chapter 2, we saw there. Last week, and I mentioned to you some of the various things. I'm just trying to get to my place. And I spoke about how it was that Nehemiah had certain values, certain godly values. How many of you remember that? All right. The first value that I said Nehemiah had, and of course we hold to as well, is that I value God and His presence. I'm just doing a bit of a recap. You remember that? I said I value God and His presence. And as a church, that's what we value. God. And I value the family of God. Amen. I want to just continue with that. Number four, as we continue to look at values, I said number four, I value the call of God upon my life and upon others. I mentioned that last week. But today, I want to look at a fifth value. And that fifth value is that I value Jesus' church. When you look at Nehemiah, remember I said last week that Nehemiah is actually a continuation of what God started in the book of Ezra. Ezra was a priest, and his job was to rebuild the temple and then to rebuild or bring about the restoration of temple worship. And so he was really involved, if I could say, with maybe fivefold ministry. He was involved with the full-time ministry, so to speak. Whereas Nehemiah was a layman. And I said last week or the 2 weeks ago that Nehemiah was actually the king's cupbearer. Remember? And even though he was a king's cupbearer and he had certain duties and certain responsibilities that he had it on his heart when he looked at Jerusalem and he saw that the walls were falling down and he saw that the people were distraught and there was a lot of sorrow, that he began to cry and he began to pray to God and he began to do something about the walls. But it took Ezra and Nehemiah to work together, all right, the two of them coming together. Nehemiah valued his contemporary. And I want to talk a little bit about the fact that I value Jesus' church. Would you lift your hands and say, I value Jesus' church? I want you to say it one more time. I value Jesus' church. You see, I'm saying that today because a lot of people, they have a terrible view, outlook on the church. And for whatever reason, it might be, it's important that we have the right value, the right perspective when it comes to the church. Because that is the divine plan of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I was raised up by my grandparents, and they were, can I say, maybe average Catholics. My grandmother didn't want anything to do with Catholicism. She was an orphan and was raised up by nuns, and they treated her very poorly, and because of that, she was adverse to the Catholic Church. That's how she was. My granddad, on the other hand, was kind of like religious. But really, for the most part, I was raised up kind of in a Christian home. Could have been a Hindu home. I could have been a Gujarati. I could have been, I don't know, anything out there. You know, the truth is we never prayed. We never got to read the word. We were ignorant. We visited church twice a year on Easter time and Christmas time. And honestly speaking, both times it was so that I could check out the talent in the church. That's what it was. But I didn't know Christianity as we know it today. My parents were good people. My grandparents were equally good parents, grandparents. But on the 14th of November, 1982, I had a proper born again experience in the church, the Durban Christian Center. And that's why I say a proper born-again experience, because I don't need a pastor to come and round off my salvation and put the cherry on top so that now I'm properly saved if I have a pastor coming to visit me. Of course, we love it when pastors come and visit us, and it's what we want to do. We want to visit as many people and all people that we can. But the point I'm trying to make is that I had a real deep experience with God. And, you know, today people have a more of a deep experience with Google and Instagram and social media and any other kinds of stuff. And few really have a real deep encounter with God. Why do I say that? Because when you have a deep encounter with God, there is a stickability to your life and a substance to your life. I found that today people are somewhat fickle, here today and gone tomorrow. But I was in this church, born again in this church, and I valued this church. I only had eyes for this church, and still today, I only have eyes for this church. I didn't know about any other church. Of course, there were other churches, but this was my church, and Pastor Fred was my pastor, even though I'd never spoken to him nor shaken his hand. I remember the one time when we were playing the drums for our Jesus conference that he came, walked past me. All he did was he tapped me on my shoulder and said, "Thank you, my boy," and just walked off. Man, it was like somebody had given me like a million rand. And but I valued the church. It was one of my values. And Nehemiah valued not just the city and the people, the lay people and the congregation. He valued what Ezra had done. His job was in restoring the temple and restoring temple worship. And we value Jesus' church. Back in those days and still today, I couldn't wait to get to church on a Sunday, whether I played or not. I was committed in a life group. You've heard my story. I was studying at Bible school. I went to early morning prayer meetings. I did fastings, conferences. Why? Because church was my value, one of my values. And I only had eyes for this church. I imbibed the vision of this church. I plugged into the vision of this church. And what happened? I saw my life come alive with purpose and destiny. See, I'm trying to stress the fact that I valued the local church. The local church is Jesus' church. Hallelujah. And I say that because any gifting that we have must come through the local church. I know somehow people feel that if the gifting comes through the local church, then leadership is going to dominate us and dictate us and override us and overpower us. But let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Any ministry ready to minister must be sent by the local church. We see it's the pattern from Genesis to Revelation. And we see that Jesus was sent by the Father. And so here in Nehemiah, we see Ezra and Nehemiah working together as a unit. And the early church did what they did. Why? Because they valued the church. The disciples valued the church. The apostles valued the church. They recognized the gifting in each other and enhanced each other. And they worked as a single unit. They were not threatened by one another. You know, I remember going to a lot of the pastors' meetings, you know, fraternities, and as soon as they know you come from Durban Christian Center, man, it's like this threat comes upon them, and they get like, well, you know, and there's this, you know, just like things that are thrown backwards and forwards. Well, praise God, we got 500 saved on Sunday. Then another guy, well, praise God, we got 550 saved, you know. And everybody's like trying to compete with each other. Because why? We ought not to be threatened by one another. Can I get an amen in this place? You know, somebody asked me, you mentioned that the Pentecostal move is over and the charismatic move is over. And I said, absolutely. He said, well, what's the next move we're in? I'll tell you what the next move that we're in is it's about the people. It's the saints' people. But what I see particular to this move is that it doesn't matter what tribe you come from. It doesn't matter what your flow is. that you can have relationships with others from another flow. Hallelujah. And I'm seeing this like covenant relationship and people just embracing one another and saying to each other, you know what? Whatever I have, you can have. If it can help you, then God bless you. You're welcome to it. And I'm just seeing this respect, this honoring, this esteeming for one another. But it was like that in the early church. You remember in Acts chapter 8, what happened was Philip, who was just an ordinary layman. He was just an ordinary congregant. He gets sent by the church in Jerusalem, and he comes to Samaria. And there is literally revival taking place by somebody who was an unknown entity. I believe that God is going to do some crazy things, some phenomenal things, not because of XYZ ministry, not because of evangelist XYZ, but just because of ordinary people that love the church and value the local church. Philip was doing some crazy things, man, that the people in Jerusalem got to hear about it. And then what happened? There was a working together. They sent Peter and John, the fivefold. They sent the Ezras. Philip was a Nehemiah, doing phenomenal things. And then they send, as it were, Ezra there, and they work together, and the people in Samaria are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And what was the result? A phenomenal harvest. Can I say that again? A phenomenal harvest. I don't know. You would need to really be like as dumb as a donkey, really. And I mean that with respect. To think that you can break up a church, cause strife and division, take people and start a church somewhere, and think that God is going to prosper that. That ain't going to happen, brother. I don't care who prophesied to you. I don't care if somebody, you know what I'm saying? You have to stop thinking that way, because this is the way that God blesses. Hallelujah. Why? Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because it's time that we value the local church. Nehemiah valued the local church. This local church is actually Jesus' church. It's not my church. It's not Pastor Fred's church. It's not Sister Nell's church. She came in the one day many years ago, and the Lord spoke to me. This is my church. This is what God said to her. This is my church. These are my people, and this is my money. And rightly so. But that means we still have to value the church. Hallelujah. When you take 10 people and split it and do all kinds of stuff, let me tell you, that's how many people you're going to end up for the rest of your life. And those people that you took, guess what they're going to do for you? You don't even have to be prophetic. Yeah, you guessed it. They're going to split your church, because that's the seed that you sowed. And I'm saying this in love, because I want to see every church prospering, man. I want to see churches blossoming. We have a great job to do. You think you're doing something great with those 20 disgruntled people that you took, that you stole, and there are 7 billion people in the whole wide world. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, catch a wake-up, neighbor. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to just encourage you this morning, because we value the local church. And even though we are building, and that's what this brick by brick thing is, yet it's more than that. The value of this church is that we are building people's lives. We wrote a whole lot of names up in that dome on that floor. You wrote some names down. How many of you saw those names being born again? Raise your hand right now. I wrote my uncle's. One of those names was my uncle. And I tell you what, it was one Sunday. Pastor Fred was preaching still. I just happened to be preaching that Sunday. He was away. And I'd written my Uncle Benny down. Uncle Benny, not Benny Hinn, but Uncle Benny. And that Sunday, my sister was in church, and she said, I got a surprise for you. I said, what's the surprise? She said, I've got Uncle Benny with me. I said, oh, I mean, Uncle Benny, he would drink 3 bottles of whiskey a night. That's just to start things off. Then he would move on to the other stuff. Needless to say, Uncle Benny is no longer with us. He died. But that Sunday morning, I preached my heart out and I gave the altar call. Guess who came up and got saved? Uncle Benny was standing there. Hallelujah. So when we talk about building this church and valuing this church, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about building lives. We're talking about drug addicts that are coming off the streets. I remember that Sunday night when, Claire and Kenny Mayne. How many of you remember Kenny Mayne? He's now living in the Bluff and worshiping at DCC Bluff. But on that Sunday night, he was shooting heroin. His wife was an escort girl, all right? And he was somewhere in town, and he looks in the gutter. What does he see? He sees a magazine, and it's flipped over, and it's flipped over with Pastor Fred's face. There it is, in the gutter, a magazine, Pastor Fred's face. He looks at the face, and immediately God supernaturally reminds him of that man. That's the man. When you were a little boy, Kenny, you went to a tent meeting with your mother, and your mother had cancer. And in that tent meeting, God healed your mother of cancer. And right there, with withdrawal, looking for money to get another fix, God said to him, you need to get to the church, Durban Christian Center. He had enough money to catch a taxi to the dome. And on that Sunday night, he comes to the foyer and he grabs the usher and he said, I need to meet Pastor Fred. And they said, I'm afraid Pastor Fred's not here, but you're welcome to come in. I think Pastor Fred was overseas or somewhere. I'm not sure where he was. I happened to be preaching. I gave the altar call. Kenny came up. What happened? He gave his heart to the Lord. Phenomenal. When you look at their lives today, I mean, he's financially prospering. The marriage has been restored. I mean, everything's been, he's an elder in that church. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, he got to preach at the Bluff as well. This is what this ministry is all about. Oh, well, do you need another building? Listen, it's not about the building. And maybe, yes, it is about the building so that we can have something for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? I want to end with this. You know, one of the things when Israel came out of Egypt, remember they were in bondage for 430 years. Remember that in Egypt. Can we get to Exodus chapter 1? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. And tonight we're going to continue with this, and I'm going to look at some values as well that I spoke about 2 weeks ago, because values are so important. But it says there in Exodus chapter 1, that verse 6, Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. I don't care what God, what the devil has thrown at us in these short space of time of 2 years. People said, I don't know, why are you even still preaching? Why are you still even going to church? Well, it's going to take a whole lot more than a fire and a wind and even the death of Pastor Fred to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation, and it did not stop the children of Israel from being fruitful and increasingly abundantly multiplying, all of that. Listen, God's plans for us are far greater than what we can ever imagine. Actually, when you look at verse 7, it almost sounds like Genesis 1 and 28, when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue the earth, and have dominion over the earth. That sounds very familiar to me. because that is the plan of God. It don't matter what you might have come through. It don't matter what your marriage might have suffered. I don't care what you've been. I'm sorry if your business has suffered, but I want to encourage you today. This is God's plan for you. We can't let anything stop us from achieving the plans of God. Durban needs us. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, all right, this is what happened. Verse 8, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the Durban Christian Center are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh. See, the devil doesn't want us to build for God. He's quite happy if we build for Pharaoh. He's quite happy if we build according to the systems of this world. Come on in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil is not happy that we as a church are building. And we are building lives. People's lives are being built up. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's carry on in verse 12. And so, look at what happens. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. There are people around about us that just wish we would shut up. Just wish that we would pack up and go somewhere and maybe turn this thing into a mall or turn this thing into a garage or turn this thing into a casino. But we're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? So verse 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondages in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And I tell you what, 2016, 2017 have been somewhat rigorous years. I mean, we've had some challenging months. I'm sure you might be having some challenging situations in your marriages, in your business. If you look to the natural, the economy, oh, not doing so good, Pastor. You know, what we projected, we haven't met, we haven't covered, we haven't, etc., etc., etc. But I want to encourage you this morning. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Then look at what the devil does. If he can't get to you, he'll get to your children. He'll get to our offspring. He goes for down the lineage. That's why we're doing all we can to reach the millennials, the XYZ generation. We have to reach the millennials, whether we like it or not. That's why I've got a beard. That's why I'm dressed like this. I come with no socks because I want to reach the millennials. I want to speak their language. Hallelujah. I do have socks. They're just the color of my skin. But verse 15, look, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, and basically every male child that was born, they were supposed to kill. But before the midwives could get there, the Hebrew woman would already pop the babies out, and so the lives were spared. Hallelujah. Then we go to Exodus chapter 5. Let's go to Exodus chapter 5 because I'm trying to get to where I want to end this morning. And here we find that Moses has his first encounter with Pharaoh. He comes before Pharaoh. He had been encountered by God at the fiery burning bush. And God said, I want you to go back and I want you to put your finger in Pharaoh's nostril. I'm just paraphrasing. Put your finger in his nostril and say, my God says, let my people go. So he goes back to Pharaoh. And verse 1, look at what happens. And he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And so they said, the God of Hebrews has met with us. Please, let's go 3 days' journey into the desert, etc., etc., etc. And Pharaoh says, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. Look, Pharaoh said, "The people of the land are many now, and you make them rest." So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. You will now let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quarter of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cried, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." It's interesting that he talks about the straw, because why straw? Well, straw is actually what binds the brick together. It is the binding agent of a brick. That's what the straw is. A brick wouldn't be a brick if they didn't put, I don't know what the binding agent is now, but back then in those days, the straw was the binding agent. Now, I want you to understand that every 25 years, church historians and people who study the church will tell us that every 25 years, a church goes through transition. And when you look at Israel being in Egypt, they were in a transition. They were there for 430 years. Was that the best that God had for them? No. God said, "I don't want you to be under slavery here, under bondage." Pharaoh is a type of the devil, right? So Jesus came 2,000 years ago, hung on a cross so that we could come out of bondage of our sins, that we don't have to be under the taskmasters of demons and principalities. He paid the price. And so in like manner, God sent Moses to say, "You know what? We're going to deliver the Israelites from out of Egypt, and we're going to go into Canaan land, a land that flows with milk and honey." That was the best that God had for them. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And what happened? When they came out of Egypt, did they straight away go into Canaan land? What should have been a 7-day, maximum 10-day journey ended up being 40 years. 40 years. Because actually, the devil messed with their straw. See, the straw represents the stuff that binds us together. And if the devil can't get to us through placing hardships and making it rigorous and getting to our children, all of that kind of a stuff, then what does he do? He starts to attack the very thing that binds us together. He starts attacking our faith. He starts attacking our worship. He starts attacking our core values. He starts coming in through our cultures. Now, we honor cultures and we celebrate cultures, but we need to understand that it's kingdom culture that unites all cultures. Need to understand that. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the devil mess with my straw. I'm not going to allow him to mess with what binds a family together, what binds our husband and wife together. Would you look at somebody and tell them, "Don't touch my straw. Don't touch my straw." Because the straw represents what makes you up. It is your belief system. It is what our core values are. It is what my values are. But I value God and his presence. I value my marriage and my children. I value the work of God. I value the call of God. I value the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Touch somebody and tell them, "Don't let the devil mess with your straw." Come on, some of your businesses have just come undone. Why? Because the devil has attacked the straw of your life. He's attacked the straw of your business. He's attacked the straw of your marriage. Don't let the devil attack the straw in your life. The straw represents that which binds us, that which creates unity, that which keeps us together. Bible says one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. You remember when they built the Tower of Babel? Man, they had their straw together, but they had the wrong motives. They were building bricks, but it was the wrong motive. They had the wrong heart. They had the wrong values. They had the wrong perspective. And God said, "Quickly, we better go and disrupt what they are doing." You know why? There is such a unity down there that if we don't stop them, anything will be possible. Come on, I want to tell you this morning, man, Don't let the devil mess with our straw. Don't let him mess with our straw. It takes straw to build a brick. And what are we building with? We're building with bricks. But what does a brick represent? It represents life. It represents a broken life, a broken marriage, a broken man, a broken woman, a broken child. Somebody that's dysfunctional. We're building brick by brick. We're building life by life. One person at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, that's how we're building. That's how we're building. Can you say amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Father, I thank you for your word that's come to us this morning. Thank you this morning that we value your church. We value the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we value. That's what we value this morning. We value this house. We value souls that are being born again. We value lives that are being transformed. We value the power of God. We value the presence of God. We value right now the fact that the Holy Spirit is hovering over every heart here this morning. Now, before we close this morning, there are some of you that you say, Pastor, my life's not right with God. That's what we're here for. That's the reason why Durban Christian Center exists. And if you value the church and what goes on in the church, you'll value this moment. This is one of the most valuable moments, one of the most precious moments. Please don't make what is valuable invaluable by you walking out. It's a very holy moment. Do you know that God records our actions? When we get up during the altar call, God records that. He records that. It's actually reflecting what your value is this morning. Thank God there's nobody walking out this morning. But I just thought I'd throw that in this morning. All right? We value this moment right now. You've come. You're watching me by way of live stream, whether you're in Phoenix, Hillcrest, or maybe you're in the overflow. And I want to tell you, you are valuable to God. This is the reason why we exist. Yeah, to fellowship, to pray together, to listen to the word, but so that hearts can be made right with God. And you're here this morning, you're here today, and you say, Pastor John, my life's not right. Can you help me? Can you pray with me? Oh, I would be honored. We would be honored to pray with you. We truly would. Right now. And maybe you're feeling ashamed and embarrassed, but you know what? 1 John 3 and verse 20 says, now this is the confidence that we have. And the amazing thing is that if it says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than that condemnation. The love of God is greater. Let me tell you something. The wrong that you did, it'll plague you. It'll hassle you. It'll torment you. It'll bring guilt. It'll bring condemnation. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay in that place. God's love is greater than the condemnation that your failure has produced in your life. God's love. God's love. You say, but hang on a moment. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. God knows what you've done. And 2,000 years ago, He took care of what you've done. He took care of it. The blood is here today to forgive you and cleanse you of that unrighteousness. You can come as you are to God. Whoever you are, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to slip up your hand as a sign that I need to pray for you, all right? And I'm saying that because I value you. God values you. We value Jesus' church, and we want to pray for you. You ready? Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to pray with you. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not right with God, and I feel God's love drawing me. I'm ready to pray with you. Would you pray with me? Yes, I will. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Go ahead and pop your hand up high. Where's that hand? Let me see that hand. You say, here's my hand, Pastor. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you on my left. God bless you. Anybody else? Way in the back, I see that hand. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. In the back, thank you. I see those hands in the back. Those of you that lifted up your hands, we don't want to embarrass you. I would just love to be able to pray with you. Can I ask you, those of you that put your hands up, just to stand up. Go ahead and stand up, ma'am. Don't be shy. Stand up in the back. Stand up in the back. Stand up in the back. Stand up for Jesus. That's right. That's right. Stand up. Thank you. Those of you that stood now, can you take another step of faith and walk down the front? Come down the front. Come with me. We're going to pray with you.
Heaven's over me.
That's right. Come, can we clap for them? Those of you in the front, would you stretch your hands out towards them? Would you say these words after me? Close your eyes. I'm going to help you pray a prayer. Everybody, let's help them pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Just as I am, with all of my faults, all of my failures, and all of my sin, I ask you for forgiveness. Thank you for your incredible love. Today I come. Just as I am. With my heart, I believe. With my mouth, I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me and washes me. Right now, this very moment, I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins, and I'll never be the same. Jesus, from today, I belong to you, and you belong to me. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to just ask for God's blessing. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know that our time is up. But if you need healing in your body, God's healing power is here. If you need healing in your body this morning, if you need right now healing in your mind, if you need right now healing in your marriage, but I'm sensing right now a healing anointing for physical healing in your body. Creative miracles right now. I don't know what the doctors have said. I don't know what the scan showed. I don't know what the blood tests came back with. But just like I shared in Psalm 115, how that when we put our trust in the systems of this world, they might seem like they can deliver. They might look like they have eyes to see and mouths to speak, but ultimately they cannot deliver. Doctors can do what they can do. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medical technology. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a time when the doctors have to say, "Sir, I'm afraid there's nothing more we can do." And isn't it good to know that we serve a miracle working God? So I don't know what it is that you have need of for your body this morning. Those of you watching by way of live stream, maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe it's a genetic thing. And right now, I come against generational curses right now. Somebody said, there's no such thing as generational curses. Well, try telling people who are suffering with a sickness that is generational. I mean, we come against generational curses. We come against sicknesses and infirmities right now. Father, I thank you in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, right now I sense a healing anointing. And I come against every adversity in the body, every ailment in the body, every condition, every attack right now. My God, whether it be a generational curse, whether it be in the genes, whether it be whatever, whether it be even spoken curses, my God, things that have been uttered from one generation to another. My God, even mantras that have been uttered and Lord, spells that have been cast right now. In the name of Jesus, I come against every form of black magic, white magic, every form of witchcraft. I come against right now even ancestral worship, my God. I break that power, demonic powers in the name of Jesus that would manifest with ailments in the body right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I command bodies to be made whole. I command vital organs to begin to function. I command, Lord, where there are missing limbs and missing body parts and missing whatever is needed in the body, that right now there is creative miracles that are released right now. Creative miracles, creative miracles, creative miracles, creative miracles. Bones, my God, whatever is missing in the bones right now, that it is replenished. Whatever is missing in the spleen is replenished. Whatever is missing in the blood is replenished. Whatever is missing in the tissues is replenished. Whatever is missing in the RNA and in the DNA is replenished. Whatever is missing right now, my God, in the cells, in the mitochondria, is replenished right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is missing when it comes to the central nervous system is replenished, my God. I come against right now shortness of memory and Alzheimer's and all of that right now. My God, when it comes to remembrance and the ability to recall right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to the brain as well. I command the brain to function. I command hearing to be restored. I command eyesight to be restored. I command the olfactory system to be restored right now. I command the skin right now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. All kinds of dermatitises, all kinds of dermatological problems and issues right now, right now, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the area of the womb, Lord, I command the womb. I command right now the fallopian tubes. I command the uterus. I command the cervix to be made whole right now, whole right now. I command the hips and every bone structure in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, every bit of arthritis, every bit of neuralgia to go in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now, we command the healing virtue of Jesus to flow right now. We command whatever is out of order to come into order, that you sent your word and you healed every infirmity, that by the stripes of Jesus, right now, there is healing in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead and receive that healing right now. Go ahead and receive that healing right now. Go ahead and receive that healing right now. Jesus, Jesus. How many of you felt the power of God touch you this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Prayer is a core value of our church. If you have a prayer request, we encourage you to come to any one of our prayer meetings with your request, and our pastors and intercessors will pray with you. Kindly take note of the prayer meeting times that are now appearing on the screen. Durban Christian Center is now on WhatsApp. That's right, we are on WhatsApp. So if you would like to send your prayer requests or a testimony, simply voice note us on 082-935-3912. To stay up to date with events, sermon videos, podcasts, live groups, and many more, be sure to download the Durban Christian Center app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love.